It seemed to me that anything unpredictable was named dangerous by gods and men alike, but the word unpredictable seemed reserved for women alone. A woman they cannot control, whether goddess or mortal, is a dangerous woman.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are a podcast bringing you reviews and opinions and sometimes even fan theories and conspiracy theories about the internet's favorite books. So we read the books that the internet is constantly talking about, constantly recommending, and we tell you whether or not they're really worth your time. I'm Casey.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Catherine. And for this week, we are delving into the world of Greek mythology again, which seems to be one of our favorite subjects. Shout out Percy Jackson girlies. And this week we're looking at Hecate, which is a book based on the goddess, who is the goddess of the crossroads, the goddess of like magic, witchcraft, sorcery. And it's her story from young child age during the Titan Wars all the way up to her like becoming a true goddess and like coming into her powers. And it's all about how she was raised and the situations that she was put in the underworld and how she overcame a lot of grief and loss of her parents and how she came into her own and came into her power and became a pretty powerful goddess that people don't seem to talk about a lot.
And it's written in poetry.
Yes.
Yeah. Which I did not know when I started. I did not know either. No.
I did not know when we started either.
It makes sense though, because the other book I read by her was poetry.
Yeah. This book is advertised as a novel, though, so I felt a little annoyed because I feel like that's something you should make clear. But, you know, whatever. Do you guys have reviews from the internet?
I do.
They're all boring.
Yeah, y'all need to do better with reviews on this book. But I did find one really good one, and it was a 2-star review from Goodreads. And it says, "Why is Thanatos saying fuck, please?"
Yeah. I have a 2-star review, also scraping the bottom of the barrel here, but I thought part of this review was funny. This person said, "I understand that Nikita Gill is an artist, poet, writer, and is passionate about creating all arts. However, narration is also an art, and it is one she is unfortunately not gifted with. The author's choice to narrate her own book did her no favors." I was like, damn, okay. I didn't listen to the audiobook, but...
I saw many reviews slandering the audiobook, so.
Yeah, I did not fear that people enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did not know that.
I have a 4.5-star review because Storygraph was even more boring for reviews, but it says, "The closest to poetry that I've ever read and actually enjoyed."
Okay.
High praise.
I can get with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the overall Goodreads rating is 4.12 out of 5, the Fable rating is 4.18 out of 5, and the Storygraph rating is 4.15 out of 5. Nikita Gill is pretty famous already for her poetry, not as much for like novel-type stories, but where did you guys come down?
I have read a book by her before. I don't know why I picked it up previously. And I liked it, and I liked this one just fine, but I'm gonna go ahead and give it a 3 because it was like I liked it just fine, but it wasn't like my favorite book ever. The chapter setup was real bizarre.
Yeah,
I could fly through it, but it was bizarre. I feel like the ending was kind of abrupt, but yeah. I liked the story. I don't know, it was fine.
Should I go next? I think I also gave it a 3. Honestly, I did not really like this. I'm going to be pretty negative about it. I really, really did not like the prose storytelling format. And I felt like the poetry in it was actually like pretty poorly done. It just felt like regular writing kind of arbitrarily split into random verses. And then there's randomly chapters that are told in paragraph format. And I just didn't really understand why the book was kind of created that way. Especially because I feel like I really actually liked the main character and was interested in her story, but like I just needed more from it. Like I just didn't feel like we got as much as we could have. And, you know, some of the scenes were really interesting and like getting to know like the underworld better was really interesting. But I was just like, I didn't really care. And I didn't really feel impacted by her journey. And so I was kind of bored through most of it.
Well, I am the outlier because I gave it 5 stars.
I know.
I expected 4, not 5.
Yeah, I gave it 5 stars because I just didn't really, I didn't mind any of it. Like, I didn't like the storytelling style or like the prose or anything like that. It just didn't bother me at all. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed that the chapters were really short only because after reading The Strength of the Few, I needed a bit of a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
Of chapters that are not like ridiculously long and a story that's ridiculously complex. Mm-hmm. I thought it was told very interestingly. I guess I always have like a soft spot for Greek mythology because that's what I grew up with. And that's what I like grew up loving, reading the Percy Jackson series, as I said before. So it just scratched an itch that I really liked. So I didn't really have any notes for it besides like the ending was a little abrupt. I will concede that, but the rest of it, didn't mind and I enjoyed it. So no notes.
There you go. I will say it was not a time waster. Like you could finish it in a day. Like, yeah. Done.
A couple
done.
Hours.
Yeah. Okay. So our non-spoiler discussion, is it more plot or character driven?
Character. It's a coming of age story of Hecate. Coming of age is inherently character driven.
I would agree. I feel like there's not much of a plot other than just her kind of trying to find herself.
Yeah. The only plot is like the minor plot points of like the different like major events that happen in Greek myths.
Yeah. Caitlin, have you or would you read other books by the author? Already previewed it. I have not read another book by the author, but I have seen her poetry before. I've read her poems, like not a whole collection. And I think I'll probably pass for now, but.
Catherine?
I have not. I don't like poetry. So that's the surprising part of this is I enjoyed mm-hmm. this book, but I hate poetry. Maybe it's because this didn't read like poetry at all to me. It was just formatted like poetry.
Yeah.
So it's like poetry.
What I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. It's poetry for dummies like me. So I probably wouldn't read her book of poetries, but I do follow her on TikTok. I enjoy her TikToks.
Is she funny? I don't know much of her. Love that.
I don't know why I picked this book up a couple years ago because I don't read poetry, but I read Fierce Fairy Tales, Poems and Stories to Stir Your Soul, which kind of the whole book, she takes common little rhymes and stories, you know, Brothers Grimm stuff, nursery rhymes, and turns them into where like the girls are getting the victory without a prince in shining armor, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Or just like turns it on its head a little. It was like cute. Also a super quick read. I don't think I gave it 5 stars, but it was not a waste of time, just like this one.
Nice. Probably the high point of this book. How was the pacing? How long did it take you to read?
Pacing's phenomenal. I mean, it's a minute per each chapter basically to read.
Yeah. I think I read it in a day.
Yeah.
Because I think it's technically, it's only like 250 pages or something. And
a little over
it's 300 something.
Yeah. Oh,
a little over 300. But since it's written in verse style, the paragraphs are like tiny and most of them are just like, you know, a few chunks of words. And so it's, if you formatted it like a regular book, it'd probably be like 200 pages.
Yeah, no complaints about the pacing. I read it in like 2 sittings. I don't know, like 3 hours max, probably.
Yeah. I read it in like 2 days.
Yeah. Okay. Would you watch a movie or TV show of the book?
No.
Yeah, there's not much there to make a movie off of.
Yeah, I also say no. I just feel like the story would have to be reimagined. And at that point, it's not really the same story. Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah, sure, someone can tell Hecate's story in TV, but this is a poetry book, so.
Right, right, exactly.
I mean, the imagery was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But not a lot of meat to make a movie out of.
Yeah,
right. Okay, well, I think we're ready for our spoiler alert section.
Busy girl rating?
Oh, shit. God. Okay, sorry.
So what's your busy girl rating, yeah, Tracy?
I'm putting busy girl's jail. I think I will bump us up to a 4 from my quality rating. Honestly, I didn't like particularly enjoy the book. Like, I thought it was fine. But it was such a fast read. It's hard to like knock it more than that. It's like, I don't know. It took like one sitting. Like, it was fine, you know. I would recommend it probably if someone just wanted something really quick and easy and, you know, they really don't have a lot of time. So I'll give it a 4.
I'm going to bump mine up to a 5. Mine was a more positive 3 than your 3 on the quality rating. That's like 3 is like the no man's land. Like,
yeah,
it swings both ways.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Like, this was not a waste of my time. I didn't ever feel like I was wasting my time and I liked the overall story. So I'll give it a 5. I think anyone could enjoy this. It's accessible both in terms of Greek mythology and in terms of poetry. I don't think you need to be a whiz at either to read it. So,
yeah, 5 as well. But that's not surprising.
Yeah. Okay, now it's time for the spoiler section.
We will allow it.
Hell yeah. So the first question is, had you heard of Hecate before reading the book? And, you know, what did you come into the story knowing about her?
We're all children of Greek mythology books. I just know when I know of Hecate, I know her as the three-faced goddess, the goddess of crossroads. She's always got the torch, but she's usually depicted as the crone. And this, she is a child most of the book.
Yeah.
So that was a little different.
I, despite really loving Greek mythology as a kid and reading a lot of stuff, I had actually never really heard of her. I mean, I kind of had like a passing impression of her name. Like, I knew that she was a Greek goddess, but I didn't know anything about her story or like her role. So I was really excited to learn about her. Because I had no idea. I really didn't know anything about her.
Yeah, I actually surprisingly didn't know much about her either. Like, I knew her name and I knew of her. I also knew
am
that
I
she...
witchier than both of you?
Yeah, I know. Apparently.
You're the witchy one.
Yeah. But like, I saw her in like some like forms of like witchcraft and like the three-faced goddess. I knew that goddess of the crossroads, but because she's not an Olympian, she doesn't get a lot of time in Greek mythology really at all. Finding out why she doesn't get a lot of time in Greek mythology was very interesting in this book of why they were, well, we say they're myths, but like the idea of like pushing her aside made sense. At least in this retelling. But yeah, like it was nice really learning about her and like the goddess of like witchcraft and like magic is super cool. Like that there was a goddess of that. Yeah. I mean, I knew she was like one of the older gods, but turns out that she's like daughter of Titans. So she's even older than that.
Right. I will say, I think this book partly disappointed me because it's so hard for me not to compare it to Circe.
Yeah,
because
it's a very similar story.
Yeah. And these are two women who had kind of similar lives. Like they end up basically, you know, isolated from everyone else on their respective worlds doing witchcraft and are sort of these like unappreciated goddesses who have to like stand up for themselves and intersect with quote unquote more important deities in the stories that we do know. And I just loved Circe so much more than this. Like, I feel like I got so much more from Circe because I think Hecate, now that I know about her, is a really cool figure, like goddess of the crossroads. I think that's really interesting. And I wish that came up more thematically in the story. And again, like also being the three-faced goddess, another really cool element of her mythology that I just wanted a bit more of it. I was like, get into that. Get into it.
Yep.
Yeah, I like the idea that she split herself into three without actually realizing it. But like, I wish we had explored that power more. Like, she meets the Fates, which is like maiden mother crone. Mm-hmm. But like, they don't really revisit her at all, which I thought was interesting considering she's supposed to like take on.
And
her
I was fate. Confused why we brought up the Fates as maiden mother crone, because I've only understood them ever as like three old ladies. And I always understood Hecate as like maiden mother crone, the three faces.
That's what I also thought. I was surprised to see the Fates depicted that way. But honestly, at the time, I just sort of assumed that I was like ignorant or something.
Aren't the Fates the old woman that who share the eyeball?
Yeah. Three old ladies.
Yeah. That share one eyeball.
Yeah.
At least according to Percy Jackson.
Okay. Well, since you bring it up, that's another one of my major gripes with the story is I felt like some of the mythology was a little uninformed almost. Just like, it didn't feel super rooted in mythology to me. Like, again, sorry to this book, to compare it to a Madeline Miller book where it feels like the original mythology is really core to the story and she uses a lot of very important details to kind of build something new. This honestly felt like she could have written this book just off of like Googling Hecate. Like, it didn't really feel like her story was like very deep and like nuanced and had a lot of Greek mythology worked into it.
I think her story was deep. I think that all the other gods portrayed were just given their usual stereotypes. And I hoped to see more from that. I mean, we've seen Hades as a good guy 100 times, so it was fine that he was not. But like all the others, it just seemed the normal stereotypes. I did like that we got more like Titans, but
yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Hades at the end just being like, you're right. I don't want to be like my brothers. I was like, yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I mean by abrupt.
Yeah. Okay, dude.
Also, were we using Greek or Roman names? I am confused.
I was also confused.
Yeah.
Why are we mixing them? Why wasn't it Persephone?
Well, yeah. No, I think Cor is actually her original name. Like Greek name. And Persephone, she changes her name when she becomes Queen of the Underworld, I think.
I should have Googled that. Like, I was Googling Titan family trees because I was like,
Me too. I was also Googling Titan
family. The family tree is a bush. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
No, it is a creeping vine on the ground. It is not eaten.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, who are her parents? I don't know. I like Greek mythology, but there were a lot of characters included and not a lot of them were expanded on other than Hecate. Yeah, I still didn't totally understand Styx and Pallas, even though they were really present. You get a little more of Charon, but yeah.
Same. And you know who should have been in this book a lot more? Is Nyx, because they built her up so much. Like, her character is so legendary and then she's hardly in the book. I was like, why was she such a huge part of like learning about this world for her to just like not even appear?
Yeah, just I felt like it was how many gods can we mention bingo at one point by the end?
Yeah.
I was like, oh. And like, if you didn't know Greek mythology, a lot of it would have no context. I still think it doesn't matter in this book, but you would probably see, like, especially when they're talking about all the gods in the war. Athena's holding them back and Hephaestus is kidnapped in his forge. And you're like, if you didn't know they were like the goddess of war and the god of like craftsmen, you'd be like, what?
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel like everyone has a little bit of baseline knowledge in Greek mythology at this point. Maybe I'm wrong in that statement, but I feel like that's just something you know through like osmosis.
It's our generation thing, guys. Yeah. I really think. Yeah. Rick Riordan,
yeah.
Really just educated a generation of mythology.
He truly like groomed everyone to become like Greek mythology.
And hey, he's doing it again with a TV show. So continuing generations are going to be watching this.
Okay, guys, Rick that Riordan, TV show is so good.
Yeah, it's so good. I still watch it.
Rick Riordan walked so Madeline Miller could run. Like, she literally just like has inherited all of his readers.
Yes. the adult readers.
I'm not going to lie. I did know stuff about Hecate before, but the newest Rick Riordan book, as in the like last year or so, is Percy Jackson and the Wrath of the Triple Goddess.
Oh my God.
It's into the new series where he's like trying to get into college or whatever. And I, of course, have kept reading them because nostalgia. Right. And the main deity he is dealing with is Hecate.
Wow. Okay. I really want to read that now.
So yeah. Hecate also shows up in the Blood of Olympus series, where she is in book 4, the House of Hades. And she is an integral part of them being able to like move forward in the journey in the story. But she also,
which is, I have read and I don't remember that.
She's like a morally gray character where she like helps them, but with a lot of stipulations, and that she was against the gods in the war. Like she was on Luke's side and Kronos' side in the war for the Battle of New York.
Well, in the Percy Jackson one, they're essentially house/pet sitting for her. And they have to like walk Cerberus and Hecuba and stuff.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's pretty, it's cute. It was cute. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
She's kind of this baddie older lady.
I love that.
But I also mean, like she's popped up in references in all of the witchy books we've read.
Yeah. Yeah. She is generally like referred to. So as, like
a mother witch. Yeah.
Right. It makes sense, right? Goddess of crossroads that I feel like very naturally incorporates into many heroes' journeys.
Yeah. So she's like everywhere without being really significant.
Yeah.
A lot of stories.
Yeah.
She's a story undertold at this point. It's really only told by women. I
appreciated this book still.
Yeah.
Right. That's
like
why
women are the only ones consuming this kind of stuff, because like she's not like this badass Olympian who's like going and slaying monsters. She's more of like your daily like crossroads and making decisions, magic, and like the more like concrete things.
Yeah. It did. This book almost read to me like a Hecate primer, like the sort of general outline of her journey. And it did make me really curious to read more stories about her. Like, I would love to read different.
Madeline Miller, can we have a Hecate book?
Literally. I didn't want to keep dropping her name on this episode, but Madeline Miller. Really like, but I want to get on my knees and beg Madeline.
But it would be different because this was a poetry book and she would do something totally different.
And also, I'm not totally sure this book's timeline matches up with Greek myths.
No, every time it was like, and it's been many, many years, but now it's the Battle of Troy. I was like, I think it hasn't been that many years then.
Yeah.
But like they're the Battle of Troy. And then immediately after the Battle of Troy is when Hades abducts Persephone. And I was just like, wait a second, that doesn't, is that a timeline match? Or am I just crazy that these myths were all separated and then put together?
Yeah.
Also, how was she a child and the Olympians were full grown when she was older than the Olympians?
She's not older than the Olympians, I don't think.
No, she's not older than them.
I'm confused.
Yeah, it's confusing. So it's
my cat hopping around behind me.
I do think this is part of the symptom of writing in prose, is that we didn't get a lot of like firm timelines and explanations that would have helped make the world a little bit more solid feeling.
Okay, here's the other thing. That's the next question, is about the writing style in the short chapters. I don't get poetry when it doesn't rhyme. I am unsophisticated.
This was not poetry. It was just a narrative poetry split into random chunks.
Yeah. I was like, written in verse. But I was even like trying to find the da-da-da-da, like the iambic pentameter. I don't know what this was, what it was supposed to be.
Poetry doesn't always have to rhyme. I appreciated that it didn't rhyme.
I know, but I didn't even find like a rhythm.
Yeah. That's part of why I hated it, is everything felt really disjointed to me. Like,
remember like the random chapters of full prose?
Yes. Know. I'm sorry. Commit to poetry or fuck off. Like,
and sometimes the chapter name was part of the poem and sometimes it wasn't.
Yes. That drove me crazy. Like, there was just no formatic consistency. Like, it was like, oh, let's just do whatever we want. Like, oh my God. I was like, I can't, what am I reading right now?
I don't.
The cat is just smiling.
Like, because none of that really bothered me at all.
The poets and their trees, just burn it down. Them and their manuscripts.
Yes.
Yes.
I was like, burn this goddamn manuscript. No rules.
I feel like not even the poet trees would like accept this as a poetry book.
No, they would not. And the fiction wouldn't accept it as fiction either.
My asterisk was, I am unsophisticated. I don't know anything about poetry that doesn't rhyme. So
yeah,
maybe it's genius and I just didn't know it.
Well, I can tell you a lot of the negative reviews are agreeing with us. They did not get it. So, I am glad you mentioned the rhythm thing, Caitlin, because that really did bother me. I just felt like there's no flow to any of these.
I just wanted to know. I was like, what kind of poetry is this? I don't know.
No clue.
Don't care.
Yeah, it's like, whatever.
Gavin's like, poetry, that's what kind of poetry it was. Move on.
Yeah.
I hate poetry, so the fact that I like this is kind of a shock to me.
Yeah. The best thing I can say about it is that it made the book so easy to read.
Exactly. That's why I loved it.
Sometimes I'm pausing at the end of a line and realizing, like, my brain has to do a hold on, keep reading.
Right. Terrible. Okay. Well, also, just in general, just to keep being negative, I did not like the writing style. Like, some of her metaphors and similes and stuff, I was like, what? What are you saying right now? What is happening? Like, it felt like she just threw in a line so that she could maintain her fourth line of prose and it would not make sense. Like, I was like, I don't get it.
I didn't have any huge issues with that part. I was too consumed by trying to understand the rhythm of the poetry.
You're like Googling types of poems.
I'm maybe too type A for poetry.
Yeah. Like,
where are the rules?
That's how I felt. I was like, who edited this book? Like, they let her get away with too much.
Damn.
That editor also didn't know what poetry was.
Yeah.
Also reading for vibes. That's the thing, is like, overall, I'm a vibes reader.
Yeah.
That's why mine's a high three. It was fine. The vibes were there.
You guys know I'm not a vibes reader.
No, you are not.
I'm a form and function reader. Okay,
so
but
boring. Your life is so dull reading that way.
It's not.
I feel sorry for you.
It's interesting. It's exciting when people do it really well.
But do they ever?
Yeah. Madeline Miller, the person I've dedicated this whole episode to.
I'm so glad I introduced you guys to her.
Yeah. Seriously.
I'm going to take credit for that one. That was you one are. Of our early book swaps that we did.
Yeah.
I think I was in the Barnes & Noble with you when you bought it.
Yeah.
I don't own it. I read it from the library.
Oh. Both of them. Maybe I bought it at Barnes & Noble and you were with me and you said to read it.
I don't know. But I know it was one of our earlier book conversations when we still worked together.
Yes, it was.
Cute. Okay, anyway. What did you guys think about Hecate herself and starting the story kind of with her as a child and then following her to adulthood?
I really liked the like idea about like grief and parenthood and losing your parents and how that impacted her. Cause I hadn't really thought about the idea of like your parents are the ones that give you power in the sense of like the gods, where they're the ones that name your power for you. So the fact that she didn't have her parents, she didn't have someone to name her power. And so she had to go kind of search for it on her own when it turns out everyone around her already knew what her power was, but they were scared for her because the gods would get angry because her power was too powerful. And so I found that really interesting, especially like I didn't know her mother's story, that she became that island that becomes like the uninhabitable to the gods. And like I know of that island because it's in like very like it's in a lot of lore, but I didn't realize that that was Hecate's mother that transformed herself into that. And then the idea of the god's blood flowing into Olympus and that's why it turns gold. I was like, ooh, that's gruesome to think about, that that's the Titan's punishment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Hera being the one like, we don't need their blood anymore. Bullshit. Hera's the meanest Olympian.
Yeah, Hera's a bitch.
Hera, yeah. She did not come to play.
Off topic.
Right.
Hecate herself, I think, was most interesting as a child, wandering to find the stories from all the ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And like how you see how, yes, it made sense that she was goddess of the crossroads.
Right.
I also think timely, being a book about the children of war and how that, what that causes them to turn out as.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, just a timely commentary on growing up parentless in an age of war.
Yeah. Yeah, I did enjoy Hecate. I liked her. I liked her powers. I liked that she would kind of like get bored and go on these epic journeys, like, and that she wasn't a particularly obedient child, right? And she was alone so much. And it kind of, it's, you know, fun to think of her kind of becoming friends with ghosts. And I liked the kind of circular nature of that because it does inform her powers, right? Like her feeling of connection and her interest in the dead is inherently part of her as a necromancer. So, yeah, I really liked her. And I don't think we hear a lot about gods who are on the other side of the Titan Wards. So I was interested in learning more about
other
that
than
piece.
Kronos, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because almost everything ends up ultimately being about the Olympus gods and the ones who win, and less about the original set.
Nope. Yeah. She's very interesting. And I liked that, like, she kind of compared herself to her uncle Prometheus, and how, like, he gets punished by Zeus with birds pecking out his liver every day because he gave fire to the mortals, because he fell in love with these mortals that he created. And I thought that was interesting, where she was just like, I also have this affinity towards the mortals, which gods seem to not have. Like, they don't have this humanity or mortality or like any sort of connection with these mortals, except for the fact that like they need them to pray to them in order to get power. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really an interesting commentary.
Well, kind of interesting that it seems the children raised in darkness are the children who become the most compassionate. Her, Thanatos, Chiron, you know. I liked that commentary too.
Yeah. Okay, what about the parental figures? Styx and Pallas, and then there's also oh my gosh, I'm forgetting his name. The guy who helps souls Chiron. Cross the Styx.
Chiron, yeah.
Chiron, yeah. Chiron, who is probably my favorite character. He is the best
character. Yeah, he was her best friend.
He was.
You.
But yeah, I know, Caitlin, you said this earlier, but I did feel like the characterization was a little bit weak on some of the other ones. And I know this book is a series, and the next one is about Styx, which is interesting because it's sort of like reverse chronological order, like telling Styx's story after. So I don't know what the time frame is in Styx's book, but
I'd be very curious about that.
Yeah, I think Styx is a really interesting figure. So I also wish there was more of her in this book.
I've never seen her like true, like anthropomorphized form. Like, I've always just thought of her as the river that runs through Hades, and that's it. Like, I've never seen her coming out of the water and actually interacting with people. So it was cool to see that.
Not gonna lie, just thought it was a river. Didn't know there was a lady.
I didn't know there was a lady either, but there is, at least in this series. Okay. So the gods are afraid of Hecate and what she could become, because she has these really potentially influential powers that, you know, particularly her necromancy, which can technically like undo the will of the gods and the fates by giving someone their life back. And we see in the book that she kind of raises this army of the dead that then fight for Olympus. So that's very powerful, right? Like, they're intimidated by her. What did you think about that and about her powers?
I loved it. Badass female character. Love when men are afraid of women. It's what you want to see in the world.
Yeah, I like when women are a threat. I didn't really totally understand how she was such a threat.
Yeah.
Other than maybe she could... I think it would have gone better if they'd given it more of the she can give magic to humans, where, like, sharing some of the power of the gods with humans, less so the back to life, because they should be like, great, they're back alive. They can worship us again, you know, like, because they kept talking about how they needed the people to worship them. I think it would have been better if they'd really went in on she was creating, you know, potions and things. She had the ability to teach humans magic.
Right. Because it does mention her, like, you know, first boon, quote unquote, where she visits Helen. Who was it that she saved?
Hecuba.
There we go. So, yeah, I was interested in more of that and, like, learning more about her potential gifts to humanity. Because I thought that was a really interesting storyline that didn't end up coming back. I also think that her powers being a little bit underdeveloped is part of why the ending was a little unsatisfactory to me. Because it didn't feel like we got the full character arc of self-actualization. Because normally when I would think of that, I would think of someone's kind of hard work and self-actualization resulting in their powers being stronger and, like, more complex. And it didn't feel like she was really fully using them. And, like, that kind of crossroads aspect and, like, the three-faced aspect doesn't come into play as much as just raising the dead.
Yeah. Hecuba is certainly the most interesting portion of her powers. And she was only up there so she could get humans to start, like, praying to her to get more power at Thanatos's, like, urging. And you never saw that actually happen.
Yeah.
But it sounds like the gods should be praying to her.
Yeah, it sounds like if she really put her mind to it and got people to pray to her, she could give a lot of miracles to people.
I mean, if you think about it, she's probably, like, the only Greek god who today is still considered worshipped. Yeah, worshipped. Like, I'm pretty sure Hecate is part of, like, the kind of witchy
wicked
kind of communities that are still around because she's the mother witch.
Right.
So she kind of outlived all of them.
Yeah.
I know. That's which true. Is why there should be so much more stories about her.
Yeah, that also true.
Yeah. Yeah. The witch who's still influencing witch culture.
I would love to read more about that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Try and stop a powerful woman. She'll just bite you all.
Okay. So there's a few different myths in the book, like the Hades Persephone narrative, the Trojan War, the war with the giants. I mean, what'd you guys just think about kind of all of that unfolding and the inclusion of those stories?
That was the only point in this book where I was, like, head scratching a bit, only because, like, I didn't know the chronology of, and I don't still don't know. Like, this is obviously, like, Nikita Gill probably took some creative licenses and put the chronology how she wants it. But it felt like a little, I was like, wait, that happened after that. And that happened after that. Like, I was like, the war with the giants happened after the Trojan War. Like, what? Like, I feel like that happened before it all. So it was all just a little head scratchy, to say the least. Yeah, that was the only point in this book where I was like, I need to know more about this chronology. But then when I started to think about it, like, the Greek myths are always told not in chronology, but in separate little instances. So you learn, like, a moral of the story. That's kind of what the whole point of, like, myths and retellings and, like, religion is, so that you learn to, like, take a lesson out of it. They're never told in, like, chronological formats. They're told in little chunks.
And this little is where bits. I think we're all subconsciously comparing this book to Circe, because both are about women spanning many Greek myths. Like, Circe spans several Greek stories. And so I think we see that here, too. However, it's poetry. It's not a full, like, novel the way I would normally consider it. So we're not getting the same depth that we'd normally get from, like, Madeline Miller. Hard to keep comparing them. But I think, like, subconsciously, that's what we're doing, is we, like, Circe, you knew the timeline. You knew it. You knew each of the myths. And this, it was, we were getting popcorn kernels.
Yeah.
Right. So what did you guys think of Thanatos? So he's sort of like the God of Endings, essentially like the good death, which was interesting because there's a similar concept in North is the Night. What did y'all think of him and their ultimate love story?
I thought it was cute. I mean, like, I knew of Thanatos and like myths and stuff like that. And I knew he was like about like death and peaceful death. Mm-hmm. I found that interesting that there's a god for just specifically that. Also him being
there's
a child
god
of,
for everything.
There's a god for everything. Correct.
Yeah.
Also being the god of like being the child of the goddess of night, which is very interesting. I agree that Nyx should have been in this more because I want to know more about Nyx. Like, she's a baddie. I want to know.
Yeah.
And she has a lot of kids. I've read the Percy Jackson book. She has a lot of kids. I found it all very interesting and I really liked their love story. It was a little rushed at the end, but I didn't really mind it because I was like, oh, she deserves this. And fuck Zeus. Like, you can't keep a good woman down.
I know. I like that she was like, I never agreed.
I didn't say anything, so I didn't break the promise.
Right. I did.
What is weird, though, that he'd been watching her and knew her secret and she never got it from him? I don't know.
Wait, she never got what from him?
Like, he'd been watching her and he knew her power.
Yeah.
Zeus or?
Oh, Thanatos.
Yeah.
And if he loved her, I feel like, I mean, he did eventually, like, get it, the info for her, but
mm-hmm.
I feel like he could have been a little more heroic in helping her.
I guess in a way he did by bringing her with him to, like, collect souls because he knew eventually her necromancy would come out.
Yeah. I don't know. I need more heroics.
He was definitely, he's no Rhysand. I liked just like, you know, thematically or like in ideas that the goddess of the crossroads would be with the god of endings. I found that very poetic because she's kind of all about like continuing the journey and he's kind of about like the good ultimate end of crossroads. So I think there's like kind of a poetry there that is like nice and like satisfying for me to imagine them together.
Yeah.
And I liked him fine, but I will say the end. So the whole story is told in like sort of olden-y language or like proper language, like kind of old style, how people normally write in the style of like old Greeks where it's like, oh, let's go to the market. You know, they're not talking in normal slang. And then all of a sudden, Thanatos is saying, fuck Zeus. And I was just kind of like, I hated it. I hated it so much.
It stood out.
It stood out for sure. Yeah.
It made me obvious.
Like vomit a little in my mouth.
How her other book is too, though.
Yeah. Just like, it felt like breaking the fourth wall for like no reason. Like just one time.
All want to say fuck Zeus.
Well, of course we do. But he could just say like, let's do what we want. He doesn't need to commit so hard to like pulling us out of the story.
Yeah, that's kind of how our other book is.
I'm not going to read it then. But it would be different if like the whole story was like that. Like,
the other thing is her other book is each one's a different story.
Right.
So it's not that weird when it happens. It's not like you read a whole story this one way.
Right.
Then it's not.
Yeah. So I did find the ending cheesy and also maybe it was just like a little too, they got everything they wanted.
Fair.
Yeah. Because at the heart of many Greek myths is, I mean, they really basically invented morally gray characters, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The only truly good one is Percy Jackson. He's the only good guy.
Yeah.
And Annabeth.
She's a morally gray man.
I know, but.
Sometimes.
Love a morally gray woman. Okay. Anyway, I think that's it. Do you guys have book recommendations?
Percy Jackson and the Wrath of the Three-Faced Goddess.
Okay.
It was cute, okay? And you get this other side of Hecate in there. Also clearly well-studied, but then, like, brought into a modern.
Yeah.
Like, as with all the Percy Jackson series.
Yeah.
So, Since I basically made this whole episode an advertisement for Madeline Miller, I feel like I've already recommended her. So I'm going to change and recommend Medusa's Sisters.
Yeah. Almost mentioned Lauren J. Bear, too.
Yeah. Really good mythology retelling where everyone is just as fucked up as they are in the Greek myth.
Yep. And since you did not take Madeline Miller, I'll recommend Circe by Madeline Miller.
Period.
Because, yeah, no, Circe is truly the far superior book, but I enjoyed both of them. Circe's really, really good. So if you enjoyed this book, you will very much so enjoy Circe.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Okay. These are just our opinions. We'd love to hear from you guys. You can send us your own book recommendations. We often read books that our listeners want us to read and then, you know, do a review. You can also just argue with us if you want. I don't know. Say something nice. We accept everything.
They're nice, though.
Yeah. Definitely nice is a preference. And you can do that online at Busy Girls Pod, pretty much everywhere. BusyGirlsPod.com. And rate and review our podcast, please. We love you.
Yep. Thanks for joining us again. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Catherine. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.